You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Survivor.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
1 million pounds.
Million euro.
Million rubli.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor All-Stars Week 7. I'm your host Shannon Guth, here to talk about that week. I think one of the stronger episodes, that first episode of the season, some heartbreak there, certainly for me and I think my guest as well. So it's a big one to talk about and I have a great guest to talk about it. Another person who I think probably would have been well served on the season itself, but once they are not there, I will definitely take them for the podcast. It is the great Jackie Glazier. Jackie, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Shannon, thank you so much for having me. I love being on this. And what a great week to have a chat as well.
Yeah. Well, firstly, when I was watching that first tribal council this week, I was like, this is like high stakes poker. It's like perfect for Jackie. And you obviously know several of the people involved that you've played with. Shawnee, who obviously, you know, rest in peace for the queen, but Sean and Mo, who you've played with as well. So I'm like, you are very interconnected into these dynamics.
For sure. And yeah, I mean, an interesting night, Monday night as well. I mean, poker is about the odds. And we definitely saw that play out Monday night.
Yeah, it was all odd related. So we'll talk about it. But before we do, Jackie, you know, it's a weird spot to be podcasting here in the pandemic. One of the industries where I think working from home has definitely suited us. But a strange one, I think, for me. Because it feels like the world is on fire and we're talking about Survivor still, which is like, it almost feels unnecessary, but more necessary than ever for me. So how are you doing? I know that's a weird question to ask people in 2020, but how are you?
I'm okay at the moment. My husband was in the States and I was due to fly there on Sunday and meet him over there, but we cancelled that flight and we got him back home. We weren't supposed to come back till the 9th of April. So we were lucky enough, we acted quick enough to get him home, but he missed the window of opportunity for the 14-day self-isolation. He flew in like 9 o'clock Monday morning, so we missed it by 9 hours. And we can't really self-isolate him here. We live together and it was just impossible. So we are both in lockdown at the moment. So what better time to do a podcast? And you know what? I'm so glad we have things like Survivor on TV. Otherwise, I'd be pulling my hair out. So yeah, it's a good time to have some good TV.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about your trip. Like, it's just been a crazy week. It was a lot when I was, you know, I measured time in my podcast. I'm thinking about podcasting with Tessa last week and it was bad then. And like the way that it's escalated, I definitely have gone through some stuff this week of like, what is even the point? But then you hear things like, no, like if anything, we need the distraction. We need the almost like the trivialness of this, because otherwise it's just like bad, sad, really important news all the time. So I do hope that this does bring that distraction for people and some enjoyment and some entertainment. And like, if that's doing that, then I guess like it is important work. And if we can get riled up about the show, like, let us get riled up about something that's actually not important. You know, like, I think that's important in itself.
And definitely, and so many people, even if they're not under, like, you know, self-isolation, people are socially distancing themselves at the moment, so they need that relief. You know, they are looking for outlets and listening to podcasts and watching TV. So I think we're doing a great service.
Yeah, hopefully people will understand what my social routine has always been, which is like, yeah, you can stay in your house and like have the social interactions of podcasts, which is my whole life anyway, but it sounds just like kind of government mandated. So hopefully we're helpful to people in that way. And, you know, at least there's like hours and hours and hours of Survivor every week to turn on. And at least for now, that's not going anywhere. Future seasons, you know, TBD based on the pandemic. But so much to talk about, hours of content. These three episodes were a lot. What are your thoughts more generally on the season?
You know, I have a lot of positives about the season, so many great returnee cast members, and I've got so many favourites back on the show. I've been really disappointed with some of the editing from production. So mixed emotions about the season, to be honest.
I feel that. And every single time we see the confessional chart, it really is crazy. I feel like a lot of people don't understand that you can criticize parts, not even of Dave's game, but of his narrative, and still love him as a player. Like, I think that Dave is, again, one of, if not the best Australian Survivor character we've had. I think he's playing a phenomenal game. But that there has to be a gap between, like, he's an amazing player, but I also don't think he needs, like, double the amount of confessionals as the next person, and the same as everyone else combined, which is something we've spoken about at length. So, yeah, I mean, I think the editing is something we'll look back on in the season and be like, it was a disservice to many, and it's a disservice to the fans.
Definitely, and I love Dave's gameplay. I'm not taking any of that away from him either, but I find his confessionals a little boring. It's like he is playing an actual actor or a character. It's not even like a real person. He sits there and he puts on a funny voice and he plays up to the camera, and I don't know. I find it a little contrived, and I'm just not, I don't enjoy his confessionals that much. I don't find there's no real person behind there. It's just like he is playing an actual character. So I don't get any enjoyment out of his confessionals anyway, but I'm not taking anything away from his gameplay and the things he's doing when he's not acting up to the camera.
Yeah, I mean, I actually do enjoy his confessionals. Like, I think it's funny. I do understand that, as we've said, the coach factor, the Rupert factor, he's probably, like, you know, doubling down a little bit on what he thinks works, which makes it a little less genuine. But it works for me. Like, I laugh. When he was doing the coughing stuff, I was laughing. The Iron Man stuff, I get it's dramatic, but I like it. And as I've said, I really like Dave as a character a lot, more than most characters on the show in its history. And even I think it's too much as someone who's enjoying it. So if you're not enjoying the confessionals, the season must be like somewhat unbearable for you, because it's like the entirety of the season.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm just over them. Maybe it's just too much for me. I just think sometimes I'm just like, oh, another one. So I feel like I just want to mute it.
Yeah, get from the facial expression.
A bit harsh, but I really enjoy watching him play, so I'm not taking anything away from his gameplay. And he's definitely putting himself in a great position to win, and if I was on the jury, like, he would have a really great chance of getting my vote if he got down to final two. So
yeah, and this might have been, for me, one of his best weeks in the game, which is a high bar because he's done some great stuff. But, like, the fact that he can get through 7 and 6 without playing his idol, without needing it. He's got an idol for 5. He's assured final 4. I want to talk about what he did at that first tribal council that I found so impressive, even if he did misplay the idol on Tarzan. So just, like, unbelievable play across the board for me. And maybe that speaks to maybe things his allies should be doing, and it's a discredit to them, or it's a credit to him. And as always, it probably is both of those things. But I'm just so impressed with where his game is at.
Yeah, I mean, I want to discuss how he played the idol too. Like, I'm curious about your thoughts on that as well. And yeah, so yeah, Monday night was such a big night. So many things to discuss about that night.
Yeah, well, I want to get your thoughts on kind of all the players, but let's start with that first tribal council because I want to talk about it from pretty much everyone's perspective. Sean's a big one, Vakama, Dave, Mo and Tarzan. But okay, let's start with Dave because we're on that train.
Yeah.
I think it's been somewhat controversial because he does misplay the idol on Tarzan. There's a lot of options. Firstly, he could have, if he played it correctly, they win. There's no threat of rocks. If he plays both of his idols, he also wins the day. He could have assured himself that because if he plays it on, say, Sean and Tarzan, obviously no one's, Dave Vakama, like, would be picking rocks between each other only. So they would definitely win the day, or he would have a very, very good chance, a 66% chance of actually just playing it on the right person. So he does have two idols there to assure himself victory, but instead he just plays the one. So what did you think about that move?
Right. So, I mean, I'm curious as whether he really thought the votes were going towards Tarzan at all. Like, I feel like he just played the idol on the, maybe just the off chance they were going to Tarzan. I think it's pretty much stating he wants to go to final two with Tarzan. Like, he really wants to protect Tarzan at all costs. And I think it's sending a really clear message to the rest of the alliance that when it comes down to it, that's the person he is wanting to take to final two. I mean, if I was Sean or Mo, like, I'm literally going, he's not taking me to final two, he's taking Tarzan at that point. But that's the message that would send to me. It's the first point. So I'm curious about him playing the idol like that because I think it is making a statement to the rest of his alliance, but no one seems to have brought that up. Whether they have or not, we just haven't seen it. But I'd be thinking at that point that Dave's not taking me to final two under any situation whatsoever. He's taking Tarzan, which I think is a smart move anyway, and I think he's protecting Tarzan and he's really solidifying Tarzan's loyalty to him as well. And he's got so many idols around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's not a wasted idol. You know, it's an insurance. He's playing some insurance, literally. Mm-hmm. And he's still, you know, he's got the individual immunity and then he's got another one around his neck as well. I don't mind the play if his intentions are to take Tarzan to the final two. He really wants Tarzan protected. And I actually think that's the smartest move. He's literally, if he gets to final two, he's 100% guaranteed the win against Tarzan.
I think he can go back to them, and whether he did or not, we don't know. But he can come go back and say, I just thought the votes were on Tarzan. I played it for our alliance in the hope that, you know, I just took my best shot, my best guess at who they were playing it for. Maybe he could say he was tipped off to that. Maybe he could say that if Jackie was flipping, he didn't think she would flip on Mo or Sean, who we saw last week. She still had that really tight strategic connection with. And then just say, like, I played it for Tarzan, but I played it for all of us to try and win the vote as a group. But I agree, they could say, like, well, why Tarzan? And I do think it does reveal his intentions of how important Tarzan is to him, because I do think that that was why he was doing it, as insurance, to make sure he doesn't walk out of another tribal council with his number one, like Zach just did, going home. But the reason I'm confused is because then Sean, the next episode, when he shows her his other idol, is like, oh, he's going to play this for us. He's going to use this for us to get us through. And it's one of the big reasons she seems to not blindside him and to stick with him and to want to go to the end with him, which we'll talk about. And it's like, how can you think that? Because if he was going to use the idol for you, he would have played it on you maybe last tribal council. And because he didn't, you might have had to pick a rock. But now you seem so sure that he's going to use it for you.
That's my whole point. Like, I was watching Monday night's episode, then I saw him do that to Sean. I was like, yeah, I mean, if you're so convinced that he's showing this idol and he's he's using it for the two of you, then wouldn't you, that's what I'm saying. Why wasn't she registering to him if he wanted to take her to the final two, he would have played the idol for her on Monday night. Like,
yeah,
it's just so obvious. Like, I just don't understand. I mean, obviously, when you're out there, we don't see everything. And obviously, he could have said something like, I heard Tarzan's name being whispered and that's why I did it. Or maybe we don't see his reasoning behind it. But it would be so many alarm bells for me sitting there as either Mo or Sean going, he's taking Tarzan to the final two.
Yeah, and whatever he told them and whatever he clearly convinced them of, especially Sean, I think is a lie. Because I do agree that he would be going to them, I'm sure, and saying, I played it for us, I thought it was Tarzan. But I agree with you in that he is playing it for his number one ally. He is making sure that Tarzan either isn't getting voted out or doesn't have to pick a rock. And I think that that does show his true intentions, and that he's just come back to camp and recovered so well with Mo and Sean in order to, like, manipulate that situation and make them think that he, like, he is as loyal to Sean or more loyal to Sean than to Tarzan when he just almost let her go to rocks. So that's kind of crazy for me, but I love the move. Like, I love him playing it for Tarzan because I think, like, he's assured that Tarzan connection, which is so important, especially if the numbers dwindle. Tarzan is someone who I don't think will ever turn on him. Getting to a four, like, that means he has the numbers. If he can go to fire, he could be in a really, really good spot. So yes. I love, like, assuring that loyalty from Tarzan. I love making sure Tarzan comes back to camp. And what I really, really love is the numerical pressure he put on the vote. Without using both of his idols, what he did and what Shawnee has said in her exit with me was really impactful, was he voted for Jackie, meaning all of Vakama would have to pick a rock. And he also played the idol, obviously, for Tarzan. So Vakama go in thinking two of them are going to pick a rock. Jackie might have to pick a rock and two of Makuta are going to pick a rock. 40% chance they'll go home. And he's now increased the odds to 75%, which, as Shawnee said in her ex interview, was too much. Like, that is a massive, massive jump. And it seems that that was, you know, as much as Sean can try to convince them and stuff, it does seem from Shawnee's ex interview that that was the deciding factor. So I think he's gone and put so much pressure on that vote. So even though he didn't play the idol correctly for Mo, who received the votes, I refuse to see it as an incorrect idol play because I think he gets so much out of it and he does win the vote from it. So I think it's a little bit two-dimensional to look at it like, well, that's just incorrect because it wasn't on the right person.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, it does change the odds so dramatically, and it would have been crazy for Vakama to stick with the rock decision at that point. But saying that, when Chan's got a 25% chance of getting a rock, why isn't she going for the rocks at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, force them to take rocks. She should be forcing them to take rocks at this point. Like, you know, like, get rid of them, done. You know, like, I don't know, like, why was she putting herself in a position that she's convincing them that she's going to stick with the three of them, and putting herself in the middle like that and putting herself in such a precarious position when she only had a 25% chance of drawing a rock anyway? And she's literally, I feel like she, with Monday night, I really feel like she was sealing her fate on a 25% chance of getting a rock.
Like, I completely agree. This has been something I've been yelling about on Twitter, on Talking Tribal. I don't understand Sean's mentality to the game, because even her saying in the last episode, I never want to sit on a jury, like, I don't get that. I feel like she's already had the crying confessional about how hard it is to come second. I've always thought that losing at the final tribal council, I mean, losing in a large loss, I mean, she only lost by one vote, would be the worst, but she still did lose at the final tribal council. You've gotten as far. There is no money for second place in Australian Survivor, and it doesn't matter monetarily if you come second or if you come seventh. And I would think for her that she would be going out basically balls to the wall, like, make or break moves, pull the rock. If you go to the jury, then unfortunate, right? Like, that's the end. That's a really sad way to go out. But if you don't go to the jury, then you haven't had to look three people in the eye, literally say to them explicitly, so why would I not go with you after I would lose your jury votes, and then betray them. So there has to be some sense of, like, you want to be able to win the game. Like, yes, she assured herself those next few days, and maybe many, many more days. Maybe she could get to the end. But can she walk out of the tribal council winning? And if she can't walk out of the tribal council winning, then what's the point? Like, she's won the battle of getting to stay, but she's lost the war.
I mean, I love Sean. Like, she's a gorgeous person. So I don't want to, like, bag on her gameplay on Monday night too badly, but I need to say what needs to be said. Like, you'd think some lessons might have been learned from her season. Like, jury management, like, post-merge is so important. Like, so important. Like, manage the jury. Do not burn too many people. She takes the decision when the odds are in her favor to not do the rocks, potentially, I mean, when she makes a speech to the Vakama tribe, she potentially is alienating her tribe if they actually do trust what she's saying to them is legit. Like, they could, you know, distrust her. If she turns on Vakama, which she ultimately does end up doing, she's burnt those votes as well. And then she mouths to Tarzan to vote for Mo and loses trust with Tarzan as well. This is all in one tribal council. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just literally like, I was like sitting there just going, oh, Sean, like, I was just baffled by the whole thing. I was in my head, I was trying to work out, well, what is your gameplay here? Like, what is ultimately your end game thinking at this point? And I could not come up with a single line that she was trying to take to win this season of Survivor. I couldn't come up with anything.
I think for Sean, it might just be a crucial misreading of her own place in the game. Like, even the fact that in the next episode, she has that killer voting confessional, which was like, I'm surprised you couldn't, like, hear my, like, audible groan from any isolated home in Australia. But, like, she says she wants to take Dave to the end because he's a shield for her. So for me, that's a misreading of her place in the game, because it's like, you don't need shields. If anything, you have too many shields. You would lose against any of the Vakamas, and most anyone would, you know, they have so many friends on the jury, they have the underdog story, you're definitely going to lose against Dave. If anything, you need people to sit next to. It's kind of like the opposite of a shield, you know, you need goats. So even her, like, targeting Jackie, for example, like, obviously Dave's the one kind of pioneering that move, but that would be a concern for me, because Jackie's someone she can probably beat. So I feel like she's looking at her game incorrectly. Like, is it possible she's thinking, wow, the jury are really, really going to respect that I convinced three people in front of them. Like, it's a baller move that I did that. Maybe she's misreading, and I really do think it's a misread, because I don't think that Vakama will respect that. And I do think they would use their jury votes as a weapon against her, as obviously she's put on the table and as they promised they would. So is she maybe thinking, though, that it's impressive rather than just, like, deadly?
I don't know. It's like me looking down at my hand and thinking I've got aces, but I've really got ace four.
Like. And that's the thing that's so interesting about Survivor is, like, if you're making moves just based on, like, a crucial misread of your entire game, that's why it makes no sense to us, because, like, the fabric is wrong, the basis is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I can't come up with a single reasoning behind Monday Night's Tribal for Sean whatsoever, and I suppose until you probably have a chat to her, or we can delve deeper into that, we're not going to understand it at this point.
I think that Sean's understanding of her own game is just so muddled, but I can kind of see it, because it's like, it is so impressive that she's here. She did only lose by one vote, and the winners, you know, Shane only beat her by one vote. I know it's $500,000, but they were sitting right there next to each other, and Shane's first boot, and Jericho's out the door next, and a lot of pre-merges are here in this endgame, and players like Sean and Shawnee have done really well twice, and Brooke have made that kind of endgame twice, especially Sean. So that she's probably thinking is really impressive, makes her very threatening, and I do see that rationale. She's probably thinking that, I've played the middle the whole time, that's so impressive, like, that's so difficult, which it is, like, it is impressive. Like, you do need to be skilled to be able to look everyone in the eye and lie to their faces while you stab them in the back. I do think that's impressive. So I think that she's just maybe overhyping her own game and not reading the jury to think, like, they're also not going to take that so well. It doesn't, unfortunately, compare to some of the other games that are just great on their own merit. Someone like a Dave, someone like, you know, all the Vakamas who have so many friends in the jury. So, like, while you are playing a good game and in some ways maybe would have a great shot against some of these people like a Moa or a Tarzan and at points a Jackie, you do need to be looking at your game differently, because you're not the biggest threat in this game. The fact that she thinks Dave is a shield to her shows us that she thinks she's at the level of Dave. And from an audience perspective, that does not sit well for us.
But I think to Shannon, she lost season three because of a bitter jury. Like, she actually lost not because of her game, but because the jury was bitter. So literally she's alienated a whole heap of the jury again.
Mm.
like, where's the lesson learned? You know what I'm saying? Like Shane didn't outplay Sean strategically to win season three. Like, Sean lost because there was a bit of jury. That was it.
I've always thought, like, Sean needs to own more of how, like, why she lost. Like, she put out the loyalty thing and then, in the jurors' eyes, failed in that regard, and they didn't want to vote for her. I mean, Matt was definitely bitter. Believe that. And, you know, he, and his vote could have won her the game. But, like, there were things she could have done. Obviously, if she takes Brian over Shane Gould, she's going to win the game as well. So I can see really, really similar things happening here. I'm seeing a pattern where it's like, she thinks she wants to take Dave to the end. Like, that's the wrong decision. That's what she did with Shane. You know, she's putting things out there that people can then use against her. Like she did with loyalty, she's now saying, if I don't stick with you, I'll lose your jury votes. Like, she's literally put it out into the domain. It's an explicit conversation. So if it comes back to bite her, she can't say that that's, like, isolated from her actual actions in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she thinks she's playing a different game, but there's still, like, yeah, some adjustments that probably should have been made.
Yeah. I mean, we did get a question, I think it was from Edmo, who said, if she were to lose twice at the end, and we're a long way from that, would she be more like the Amanda Kimmel who lost twice, or more of a Russell? Like, Amanda just didn't speak well to the jury. Russell alienated people with his social game. Like, for me, if Sean goes down twice, I'll be looking at it as, like, she doesn't understand the jury system. Like, she misreads the jury, which I guess would be ironic given her profession. But we've spoken a lot about how actually it's, like, a fallacy, and the Survivor jury is so different from a real jury. And maybe that's where like, she's not seeing it. Like, maybe she's used to juries having to be impartial, and she doesn't realize that, like, Survivor juries do not have to be impartial, and they won't be impartial. So maybe it's her profession clouding her judgment. But if she loses twice at this point, and because she's taken Dave so far in, possibly to the very end, I will see it as she's misread a jury. If she loses all those Vakama votes because she thinks this was a really strong move that will gain her votes, when actually, like, they're just going to not vote for her, I will see that as her fatal flaw, and it's all about just the wrong read on that jury.
I actually think you could be so right about that. I think maybe her profession is clouding her view of the jury, because I think it all comes down to jury management. I think that's where she's got it wrong, and she's just misreading how the jury should act, where, you know, she's not taking all the facets into consideration because there's personal relationships and, you know, they're not going to be impartial.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a court of law and Shana's sitting there next to Shane and she's saying to the jury, like, vote for, like, you know, she's giving all her moves, who won the most immunities, like, who found the idols, like, who has played the best game, like, she probably does win, but that's not a Survivor jury. But you would think that having lost in that way before would remind her how different these juries are.
Yeah, that's my point. I think that because she lost due to, I mean, Brian was bitter as well. Sean promised that she would take him to final two, so he was never going to give her his vote. Like, she makes promises, and then she doesn't understand that when you make promises, when you make promises like that with people that you're trying to work with them, it's fine to blindside people that you're not working alongside with so much, but when you do make promises to people, they can be bitter, and they don't necessarily see it as a great gameplay. You know, they're just, you know, they resent it. And if you haven't built a personal relationship with enough people, you're not going to get their vote either. Like, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I think that she'll have to own it, especially if she loses in this way twice, which, again, we're so far away from that. But at the same time, like, her saying she wants to go to the end with David is a big red flag for me. And then, like, looking at it against Mo and Tarzan, who I would have said a week ago she should handily beat at the final tribal council, Mo has put off Fakama socially. Tarzan is not super strategic. You would think that some of the bigger players wouldn't love that type of gameplay. And now I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if she would beat, like, a Mo or a Tarzan. Like, she might. I'm not saying it's a fait accompli that she would lose, but I don't think it should be as close as it is in my mind.
I think she could beat a Tarzan just based on the fact that it is an all-star season, and I think that, you know, just being a nice guy is not going to win you this season based on the jury members that we do have, and reading what they're going to credit. I mean, regardless of whether they think some of her moves have been good or bad or alienated people or not, the fact that she's actually making moves would give her more credit than someone that's made zero.
Mm.
I think she has a chance against Tarzan, but I think other than Tarzan, he's the only person she should be considering taking to final two. That's it.
What about someone like a Mo, who we know more from online than the show, like has very much alienated Vakuma, and they just might like Shan better? I don't know. I don't know. That matchup's an interesting one to me.
Mo's very polarizing. You know, she'll have some people that will be loyal to her because when she really does like someone, she's super, super nice. But other than that, the rest are by the wayside.
Yeah, I mean, you've played with Mo and with Shan. Did you get the sense, like what we're talking about, did you get the sense of their game when you were playing with them back on Champions Beach, or do you feel like the game has changed?
It's hard to get a read on – it was hard to get a read on Mo's actual game as far as strategy-wise when I played with Mo, because even before she got sick, she did kind of just lie around camp and did really nothing even before she got sick. And she, from what I've heard, she kind of did that for the first couple of weeks. I don't know whether it was just being out of her comfort zone and being out there at the start and before she's made any connections with anyone. I don't know whether that's just how she behaves. I don't know. But I didn't really make any connection with her on a personal level, and we're definitely not friends. But and then she left. I think she had some issues at home with her sister and that as well, and was getting news from home that that wasn't going that well. And then she got sick and then left.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether I can't really judge Mo on her strategy side of things because I didn't see anything whatsoever. But producers obviously decided that they wanted to give her a second chance to come back and give another go. So here she is. And obviously I've seen more of her strategy side, but I can't really complain. I can't compare it to the first season. But as far as personality-wise, I've seen a lot of similarities between how she either loves you or you're pretty much non-existent.
Right. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So you felt like you were non-existent. How many days did you play with Mo?
I'm trying to think at what point she left.
But it was like, to be honest, I know this sounds.
It was a couple of weeks, but it kind of didn't seem that long because she doesn't really talk much or do anything. So it didn't really seem that long.
See, this is almost like crazy. Like, you played the game with her for weeks. Like, you should get it. Like, you should have, like, if you can't have a read on her as a player or a person after playing with her for weeks, then, like, maybe like that's kind of shocking to me. Like, maybe we're kind of understanding some of the discord that we're seeing online, because if you're saying that you don't have a read on her at all, from like, is there anyone else that you played with that is true of? Like, are people that socially distanced? They're saying socially distant because of the terminology currently being used in the world, but like, that seems crazy to me.
I mean, let's face it, you're thrown out on an island with people that maybe in everyday life that you wouldn't connect with, but you need to try and connect with these people because that's part of the game. And I tried to connect with her, but she didn't reciprocate in any way. I didn't really connect with Commando Steve at all. I did try, but to be honest, there was no love lost, I think, on either side there. Like, we just didn't have anything in common whatsoever there. But, you know, there's people that you just don't get along with, but you need to still try and find things that you connect with them, thinking that possibly, you know, you make merge and they're going to be on the jury. You need to find something, like, keep trying, you know, keep... I think that you'll always find something in common with someone if you keep you know, searching for it. And I'm a social person, but I think that when someone kind of just isolates himself and lies around under the shelter all day, it makes it harder to do.
I feel like this conversation is more insightful than anything we could possibly see on the screen, because you're like illustrating what it's like to be these jurors living with someone they're going to have to vote for. And like for Mo, I think she could get every single vote from her people. You know, like if Dave wins up on the jury, if Tarzan does, if Sean does, Jackie could vote for her. Like, I don't really know her relationship with Zach, but you know, if Lee was there, maybe like he could have voted for her. I don't know if they had much of a relationship, but the thing is, because Lee isn't there, or the way that the jury might stack out, and how it, unless Brooke gets there, which she's going to lose anyway, the way that the jury looks like it's going to be is with five Vakumas. And if they all feel, she doesn't seem to have a better relationship with, I think, than Brooke than the other Vakumas, but if they all feel like you're describing now, and if they've lived like that, like how you're saying you did, then this illustrates, I think, better than we could ever see on the screen, why she might lose that jury vote.
Yeah, and saying that, Mo was never like nasty to my face or anything like that. Like I have heard that, you know, some stuff went on this season that was borderline bullying, like, and I can't like I have no proof of any of that, and none of that went on in my season whatsoever. She was just harder to connect with socially for me.
Yeah, and Survivor is the worst game to be like love you or hate you, because you need the jury. Like, it's better to be just like consistently tolerated, I think, because then maybe you'll get those jury votes. So if you have five Vakumas who aren't going to vote for her, that's a losing game. But if she's sitting next to a Tarzan who they don't want to reward, or if she's sitting next to Sean, who I could really see like an AK and a Shawnee especially being like, I promise you I wouldn't vote for you if you didn't go with us, and I'm true to my word. I can especially imagine those two doing that, and she has her own people. Like, I could still see a winning game for her. I just think that she's made it difficult for herself because it is a social game, and as someone who can be super introverted, I get it. But that's why one of the reasons I wouldn't go on Survivor, like, it is a social game, and I do feel like you have to have those relationships across the aisle so that even if you're not working together, they will vote for you in the end. And then it becomes a balancing act, because if you give them too much, like Sean is, then they feel betrayed. So it's about like kind of finding that middle spot between like not pissing people off too much, but also not making them feel like you're irrelevant to them and they don't want to give that a vote.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I just think that it is part of the game. You know, you need to have social skills and, you know, like, you need to show some sort of interest in people's lives, you know. Like, I could tell you a lot about Mo and her family and her background and that, but at the end of the time that we'd spent together, I'm pretty sure she would have no idea about my life or anything about it whatsoever, because she had zero interest.
Hmm. And I do think this is really interesting, because I could definitely sit on the line, and when I do deep dives with hopefully some of her allies, you know, if I sit with like a Dave, he obviously has a great relationship with Mo, and he will tell me about it, and he will tell me about their great relationship, and that's super valid. But the experiences of people who don't have that has to be valid in and of itself, especially if you're saying that it's been across multiple seasons and it's just her general approach to the game. Like, there's validity in that. There's validity to those jury votes. So I'm wondering if we're going to see that play out. But I want to like go back to the thing we touched on, which is Sean mouths to Tarzan, as you said, to vote for Mo. And like, together, can we put our heads together and try to work out like what? Like, how is she panicked in that moment? Does she vote and then immediately change her mind? Which, like, with the flip floppiness, I almost like wouldn't be surprised about for Sean. Is she trying to get out of rocks without getting her hands dirty and voting out Mo, who's her friend? Like, I need a reason. Like, I need to know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, why is she telling him to vote for Mo now? Because if she didn't want to go to Brock's, she could have easily just done the vote and be done with it. But then
she does it after sitting down. Like, you just voted 30 seconds ago.
And then I'm like, well, yeah, why didn't you do it? And I was like, oh, because you don't want to get your hands dirty. But now you've pretty much told Tarzan, and if this doesn't work, he's going to tell Mo when you get back to camp. I mean, and then how do you explain that? Like, it just made no sense. I don't know. Maybe she was panicking. Like, you are tired and hungry and mentally exhausted out there. I don't know. Maybe it was just a really bad day for her out there. You know, just
I mean, it seemed like a bad day. I'm not going to lie. It definitely, like, feels like it tanked a lot of her game. So it wasn't a good day, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like just... Like, I'm not letting her off the hook for the debt for anything that went on, but it was just like, that was a really bad day for Shah.
You won't get many worse days without being voted out. Like, she might have had to pick a rock. Instead, she sold her entire game down the river. How does it get worse than that?
And then the mouthing to, like, Tarzan about the Mo thing as well. I was just like, just why? Why? If you were going to do that, why didn't you just write Mo's name down instead? Because you know what? It just would have solidified more with the Vakama tribe as well, and it would have been a big move that she could have had on her resume as well and shown that she's a game player and that's, you know, that you're willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, but it must have been panic because, like, firstly, Tarzan's never going to do that. Like, it's a completely, like, pointless exercise because he's not in threat of going to rocks. He's immune. He's more loyal to Mo than he is to Shan. And he's, like, the most loyal person the game has ever seen. So he's definitely not, like, flipping his vote to vote out Mo for no reason when all he stands to lose is 25% of Shan if she can't convince them who he's less close to than Mo. Like, in a different world where, say, like, Tarzan is the one up for the votes. Maybe she could mouth to Mo, who's her friend and her, like, tightest connection in the game, and be like, vote for Tarzan, I guess. I don't know why she wouldn't just do it herself. And, like, maybe Mo will vouch for her. But, like, Tarzan is not doing that. Tarzan is maybe the least likely person who's ever played to switch his vote on the revote to vote for his ally. Like, have you met Tarzan? He's definitely not doing this.
I mean, I've met Tarzan, but I've watched him on both his seasons now, and I've never seen him be disloyal to any of his alliances. In fact, he's loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even after watching his first season, you would know that this is not the person to mouth this to, unless, again, it's just a massive misread from her place and where she's sitting with these people. You know, like, maybe she thinks she has something down with Tarzan. Maybe they've had some discussions where they've chatted about being final two and, you know, that we just haven't seen it. And she actually really firmly believes that that's something that they both have planned. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she thinks Tarzan's tighter with her than with Mo, but, like, Tarzan wouldn't switch to save himself from rocks. You know, like, Tarzan's, like, yeah. Tarzan would do, like, the, you know, he would do, like, the Keith Nail thing where he was, like, I can see that similarity where he would be like, I'll just go to the house, you know, like, instead of turning on Mo. So she was never going to do it to try and protect Shan. This, to me, is, like, one of the biggest mysteries. Like, again, cue the serial music of, like, what was she thinking to mouth to Mo and then get, obviously, Tarzan comes back and like, is immediately telling Mo and Dave, which shows just how much more loyal he is to them than to her.
If Tarzan and Mo are sitting at final two, Tarzan's trying to convince the jury to give the money to Mo. This is what sort of person Tarzan is. What makes you think that he's going to write down Mo's name at this point? Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just a strange one.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. Okay, so we could not figure out why. No. I think our best bet is just sheer panic. Is that it has to just be sheer panic. Because, and like, because the thing is, then Mo comes back and doesn't believe Tarzan, which is incorrect, but she's thinking that Shan will be loyal to them, which was correct. So, like, I actually credit Mo's read there in knowing that Shan would stick with her, but she's not right in not believing Tarzan. But I do believe that Shan is loyal to them, clearly, super loyal. She had her shot at 7, at 6, we'll talk about, she doesn't take it. And I just think she was maybe that desperate.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, yeah, Mo is just so convinced that Shan's trustworthy, but yet there's no alarm bells when Shan doesn't divulge the information about Dave's idol to her either.
That's a good point.
This week. So, yeah, I mean, she kind of gives Shan the opportunity when, I know I've kind of skipped ahead, but we're just talking about this Mo's blind trust in Shan. Tarzan said to her that Shan mouthed, vote Mo doesn't believe it, then they're at the well, chatting and she's saying to Shan, do you have anything else you want to talk about? And then Shan's like, no, nothing. And then Mo goes to her, well, what about Dave's idol? And Shan goes, which idol? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, if I really thought that this is the person that we've got a two-person strong alliance that we have, that Shan would have told me about the idol before I had to kind of bring it up to her. And it would be alarm bells to me that she didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell because we don't see enough of the Mo-Shan relationship on the show, knowing that they are good friends, knowing that their relationship has been a cornerstone of the dynamics of pretty much everything since the swap. And that's never delivered to us as strongly as Shan and Dave, or Mo and Dave. You're getting the common denominator of the alliances that we are delivered. So it is hard to know. But yeah, Shan at this point is saying she wants to take Dave to the end. So maybe Mo should, it does seem like she maybe is a little bit on alert about how close that relationship is getting. And when she wants to deal with that, she'll probably need to, if Shan really wants to take Dave to the end, because people have said, like, maybe Shan's trying to course correct and not take Mo to the end, because last time she took her friend in Shane Gould and she lost, but she also took the bigger threat in Shane Gould and she lost, which Dave would be. So I think that not taking Mo to try and correct the whole, like, friendship thing and, like, mateship thing would be the wrong lesson from last time.
Yeah, I mean, their relationship, I mean, being a return season with return castaways, like, there are dynamics that are formed, obviously, that makes the game less organic, and there's friendships there and relationships that going into the game that have already been formed. I think knowing Mo and Shan and their relationship outside of the game, I know how close they are, and I just feel that I it would be very, very interesting to see if either one of them turn on each other. Like, I just couldn't see it happening. They are really, really close outside of the game.
Yeah, and for Shan to turn on Mo to take Dave to the end, she would be betraying an ally to make the wrong move. Like, she's not, like, turning on Mo to take Tarzan, which she'd be like, all right, like, better shot for Tarzan. Like, she wants to take Dave. So that would be shocking, but that's what she's told us in the voting confessional she wants to do. I don't see Mo taking out Shan. If anything, I think maybe she would try to go for Dave to kind of weaken that relationship. But Dave's in a great spot, so we'll kind of talk about that. What about for Shan and Mo going for Jackie here? I think it's great for Dave. As I said, the numerical pressure is amazing. The numerical pressure was very helpful to Shan and not making her pick a rock. So I think that they all kind of benefited from that. But I'm just looking at, like, Shan and Mo and Tarzan and thinking, like, there are so many people in this game that have such impressive resumes. Like, all three Vakumas, as I said, will do well. Dave will do well. Don't you want to keep someone in the game like Jackie, who Mo and Shan, I think, would have a good shot of beating at the end?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, but then They're kind of all chatting about taking Dave to the end, so I just...
Yeah, we're trying to analyze some, like, intentions I think we don't understand, which makes it difficult.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm not sure. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I think that Vakuman made the great decision believing that Shan was going to stick with them, because... In my mind, I would be thinking with them, you know what, obviously we're not going to go to Rock, so we're all safe. If Shan does keep her word, then we have now gone from a minority to a majority if she does keep her word to us. And for Shan's game, it actually makes a little bit of sense as well, because it's good on her resume as well. She's now got some votes with the Vakuma jury members as well. If she sticks with us, she can make some moves on Dave and Mo and that tribe, and it looks good for her game. So sticking with us makes some sense in her game moving forward, and flipping back to her alliance doesn't really make a lot of sense. I would kind of be trusting what she was saying, and because I would be thinking in my mind that if I was Shan, it kind of does make some sense.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it either way. It's hard, again, to analyze, like, what Shan should have done, because at that point, I think she's, like, in a near unwinnable position. But they're hoping that she's at least 26% trustworthy. And there is some sense there, as you said, like, well, Dave was immune at this final eight. And you would think that she would want to go for Dave, that they have to take out Dave at some point. So you would think that it's like, well, she'll come back. And they said, we don't need her for the whole time. We just wanted to work with us for one vote where Dave is vulnerable. You could definitely see that that could be of interest to her, especially because they're saying, like, if he plays the idol, like, we'll go home. Like, there's no threat to her. It just is a shot at Dave. So I don't think they're expecting her to vote for Shawnee and say, I'm voting for you because I want to take Dave to the end. Like, that part is shocking. But you could see from their perspective how they would think, okay, you know, some people looking at it like, wow, Shan convinced them. You can look at it like, no, they drew that much out of her. Before they reneged on Rox, they got all of that out of Shan in front of the jury for her to promise herself to them, for her to talk about the jury votes, for her to all of the stuff to make herself, you would think, somewhat beholden to them. And they were just kind of trying to probably take the threat of Dave and all of that and all of the jury pressure to give them a 26% chance of turning her. And while it didn't work out, and while her intentions are different to what I think we or they could predict, I do see the logic there.
Sure. And then it does work out perfectly. Like, Dave doesn't win immunity the following night, which makes him vulnerable. It's like, it's kind of like they have created the perfect storm. It's all ready to go. Like, I was kind of excited on Tuesday night, and then.
So do you think that she should have turned on Dave there at final seven?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course. Like, I think the flip-flopping is never going to be good for her game. Once she made those promises on Monday night, I think the only way for her to win from that point is to put Dave on her resume with an idol in his pocket, like, especially after he showed the idol. If she could take the chance of sending Dave home with an idol in his pocket, like, I think that it puts something on her resume that does actually put her back in a position where she could actually win this season of Survivor. Like, she's turned on her alliance. She's joined Vakma. Then she's got, there's a lot of Vakma on the jury as well. She's in a majority then at that point. You know, like, I just think that that's the only way. After that speech on Monday and what went on, she's already turned Tarzan. He's already distrusting her. She's kind of, Jackie's already turned against her because she literally convinced everyone to get rid of Jackie, like, in front of, you know, like, she made Vakma turn on Jackie as well. I think that that was really her only chance, like, to do that. She spoke about it, like, sending Dave home with an idol. Like, she knew that there was such a big chance that he wasn't going to play it.
Yeah. And he did. Well, she read that completely correctly. Like, she said, I can tell he's bluffing, but then she did, like, she did confusing things with that information.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, I think if she'd stuck to her word with Vakma and got rid of Dave with an idol, she has a chance. Like, she has a chance to still win Survivor. Like, she kind of redeems Monday night a little bit.
I think you're kind of convincing me, because I don't know if she should go for Dave right then at seven, because then I feel like, okay, well, she would win if she got to the end, but now she's, like, got three Vakamas there. That is a very strong block. What is happening at six? She's obviously probably pissed off Tarzan at that point by taking out Dave. I still think Mo would come back to her, but I feel like she's outnumbered to a degree. But she does have this perfect shot where she knows he has an idol. Like, I was talking to my brother about this, and he was saying, like, Dave showed her the idol and it worked and it brought Shan closer to him, but it should have had the opposite effect of, like, forcing her hand to take him out at that point when she knows he has the idol and when she's correctly read that he's not going to play the idol and that this is the perfect opportunity. So it was a golden opportunity, but it does give me concerns for her of actually getting to the end. And again, like, maybe Shan should care less about that and more just about, like, making sure she can win at the end if she gets there based on her previous season. But, like, okay, I think there are other options. Like, Shawnee is such a huge threat. I do understand taking out Shawnee. I just think that the way you do it is, like, you flush the idol. Okay, like, can't that be something you do? Like, you I don't think that Vakma would be so against you if you were to not vote with them, but you do flush the idol, and then you and Mo become a voting block. I don't know where Mo's intentions are in this, but you become a voting block. You go team up with Brooke and with AK at six, and then you can even split the votes and vote Dave out then. Because I do think like her best bet is to be going to the end with Tarzan or Mo. So she needs to work it out there. She needs to be taking out all of Vakuma. She needs to be taking out Dave and an idol, even though he's so tired with Tarzan and has so much like installation there. So it's like a tricky road, but definitely at seven or six, two votes we've now witnessed, she should definitely be taking the shot at Dave at one of those two votes.
I just think the issue is what she did on Monday night with Vakuma is literally, if she doesn't stick with them on this vote, at least it just, I just feel like she sealed her fate on that she can't win. Like they're literally not going to give her the jury vote. And she kind of, I think there was, she said like she's questioning whether what she did on Monday night was right or not. I think in her mind she's woken up and thought about it and thought, oh shit, like have I made the wrong move there? But you got to be thinking, what happens if I turn on Vakuma at this point? Like, what are the consequences? And can I win? It's not about how far I can get into the game now. Like, you know, I'm not thinking about can I stay in this game for another, you know, three more days. I'm thinking about can I still win? Like, I've come this far. Like, how do I turn this around to actually be able to win? And I just don't know whether her turning on Vakuma and not sticking with them, I feel like it's really just sealed her fate that she cannot, she's not going to get the jury votes at this point.
Yeah, I feel like I have to analyze it in a vacuum because, like, her intentions are she wants to go to the end with Dave. I cannot analyze that, you know, in terms of, like, what she wants and if she thinks that's her best path, then, like, great move. Like, you've kept Dave in the game, you've kept his ally in the game, and you think those two things elevate your game and are good for you. So, okay, you can't fault it based on that logic and that read of where she thinks she is. But if I was looking at it maybe a little bit more clearly from her perspective, I'd be thinking, okay, woken up, didn't go to Rocks, promised myself to Vakuma, what the hell am I going to do? I would be thinking there's two paths. As you've illustrated, you could either take out Dave, make that huge move, go with Vakuma, and then yes, you are in a tricky spot. You might get voted out next. You could win an immunity. You could try and break up Vakuma, because at a point, surely Vakuma are going to have to turn on each other. They're not all going to want to go to the end together. So, like, are you going to try break up that group? It makes it a harder path to the end, but you do have the biggest move of the game, voting out Dave with an idol in his pocket, yeah, on your resume, and you will definitely win. You have no chance, yes, of being one of a very sad club of people who have lost at the final tribal council two times. No one, yes, wants that. No one wants to be with Amanda and Russell in that group. Or you could be thinking, okay, I have screwed over my jury chances a lot. I will go with an easier way to the end, which is like to focus on Vakuma now because they're such a strong group of three, to take out Dave at a point and just to sit next to someone that even if I've pissed off everyone, as you've said before, like maybe even then I'm beating Tarzan. So that's my best bet, is to just give myself a safer route, a much more boring path to the end, and just hope that sitting next to Tarzan or even a Mo is enough for me. Just they'll hate voting for me. Like, oh, like it will be terrible for Vakuma to vote for me, but they'll do it because it would be worse to vote for the person next to me. And I think either of those could have been options for her, not without their pitfalls, but legitimate options. But unfortunately, neither option was taken because we're now down to the final five. No one flushed Dave's idol. No one took a shot at him. I'm just baffled. Like, I'm baffled that Dave could get through this week without needing his idol. I am just baffled.
I mean, the thing is that let's just say that she got down to final three and she would have to then, let's just say it's her, Dave, and Tarzan left. She would have to win the final, you know, immunity challenge to get to the final two, you would think. Because I would think that Dave would take Tarzan. I feel like that is his agenda. Like, it just seems obvious from the way he played the idol. I mean,
she thinks he's more loyal to her. Like, at least at that final seven, when she thinks she's the only one he's shown the idol to, and that seems to have really worked.
I mean, the thing is, at what point does she think she's going to beat him, though?
We've been too long just wringing our hands over this. Like, I don't know. I can't, like, as a Survivor analyst, I can give you nothing more shocking and confusing to me than a voting confessional that says, Shawnee, I'm voting for, okay, it could have been Shawnee, I'm voting for you because you're a huge threat, but don't worry, I'm coming for Dave next. Okay, I get it. It's not the flashiest move. You might still lose some Vakuma votes, but I get it. But for her to stand up and say, Shawnee, I am voting for you because I need Dave. He is my shield in this game, and I'm going to take him to the end. I know I just quoted it verbatim because I cannot stop thinking about it, because I cannot analyze it, because it's so divorced from what I understand is good for Shan's game. So everything we're analyzing about her game now is just, like, in this vacuum of what she's not trying to do because her intention is to go to the end with Dave, which is something we can't analyze because it's nonsensical.
Nobody wants to sit next to Dave at the end, right? We are agreeing on this.
No, they all do. Like, no one should want to. Tarzan would. Would Mo? I don't know.
No, I'm just saying nobody should. Nobody should.
Nobody should. But they all do want to. I'm baffled.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we just haven't seen things. I don't know.
Maybe this is not good Survivor podcasting. People are like an hour into this, and I'm trying to come on here as the expert, and I'm saying, I am stumped. I am stumped by this gameplay. Is Dave's game so different to us than what they are seeing? Is there a reason they think that Dave is someone that they could beat? Is that it? Is that the question mark? That Dave's game is the thing that we see him confessional, we see all his moves, we know he's a great player, and it doesn't seem like anyone's even that mad at him. Do they think he's not that good? Do they think people will be angry at him? Is that where we're differing here?
I don't know. I feel like you've asked me to come on this and I've not given you any answers either.
I'm confused too, Jackie.
I'm like, I don't understand what especially Shan has been thinking this week especially. But do you think that she was with Vakuma before he showed her the idol? What do you think of this? What were you thinking before he showed her the idol?
That's also a really good question. I'm too stumped today. Like, I woke up to compile the questions. I got a lot of, like, what is Shan thinking? What is going on? I'm like, I don't know either. We're all in this together. Just like, what? I don't get it. I hope to get the answer someday. It does seem like that really pulled her in. But the reason I think that she might have been with them anyway is because, so the next episode, Mo tells Shan, he was manipulating you. We all knew about the idol. And if that had been the defining factor in her sticking with Dave, you would think that then she would say, well, screw this. We're going for Dave now. I mean, they have a shot at him at final six. They could have blindsided him at six if she's with Mo. They could have forced a tie then if she thinks that her game is so up in flames. Like, she had room to make a move then. And even after finding out that the idol thing was manipulation, she still isn't going for him. And he's not even a name at the final six. Like, if anything, Vakuma knows that they have to go to Dave and put Shan out as the name, because that's how much not on the table Dave's name is at final six.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like, baffling. Beyond baffling. I just feel like I'm at a loss with all of this. Do you think that that was the defining factor? Like, we're trying to analyze this.
I know. I mean, I feel like he was on the radar as the target. And then when he had the idol and she really thought, I really think she was surprised when Mo knew about the idol. I think it surprised her. She thought that he really had only shown her and that there literally was a bond between the two of them and they had something that he hadn't shared with anybody else. So, I mean, credit to Dave's gameplay, like, and how social his game is, that he's making everyone feel so special that they really think that there's a tight alliance of two between him and Tarzan, him and Mo, and him and Shan. Like, he's played that brilliantly. They all think that they're together with him, and he sold it to her. And I think she read it right, that he wasn't going to play it. But then, you know, when you're sitting in tribal council and it's frightening, you know, doubt creeps in and possibly she just couldn't pull the trigger.
But, but even if he plays the idol, they're voting for Shawnee.
Right.
So, and like AK has said, and I assume Vakamoto would all this say the same, is like, if he plays an idol, like, goodbye. Like, then there's nothing I can do. But we can only take the shot now. So, like, okay, if he plays the idol and Shawnee goes home, then Shawnee's home anyway. Like, you're either voting out Shawnee or you're voting out Dave, or he plays the idol and Shawnee goes home, but at least he takes Dave's idol with him. Like, where is the downside in this?
I mean, I suppose then she thinks she's next.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to think, like, where is Mo? Because if she has Mo, then she could join with Vakma. They could even split the votes on a Dave and Tarzan. She does have the numbers. But if she thinks Mo is more loyal to Dave, then yeah, she could be next. But then again, should she care if she's next? Like, we're saying take the shot. Don't go to the end and lose. Like, be out six or win. Like, that's a better alternative. I've always thought that's a better alternative. We talked about it a lot when we spoke about Laurel in Ghost Island. She could have taken the shot, and yes, she might not have got to the end, but her pathway just seemed like you're going to go to the end and get zero votes, and she was even a little bit more deadlocked than Shan is here. And then she did get zero votes. And
that's right. I just really think that Shan should have stuck with Vakma on Tuesday night, sent David home with the idol in his pocket, and I really think that that's what she needs on her resume right now if she's got any chance of actually taking this title home. It impresses the jury. It keeps AK and Brooke and Shawnee, like, against her if they go to jury as well, because she's stuck with them for the vote like she promised them. Tarzan already doesn't trust her anyway. And I don't think Dave would be that bitter either going to the jury, because
he's fine.
Even though, you know, she's blindsided him, he's the kind of guy that does appreciate big moves. Like, he said it all along. Like, I don't think it takes away his vote from her either. So
yeah,
she solidifies a whole lot of jury votes by doing it, and it gives her a chance that if she can make it to final two, she actually has a chance of winning. Whereas at this point in time, even if you make it to final two, you have no chance of winning unless you're sitting alongside possibly Tarzan.
Yeah, Dave would definitely vote for her. I just think that he would then, like, if they ever play together again, he would destroy her. That's how he gets his revenge. He still voted for Pia, so he wouldn't, like, he definitely would. Maybe he's just, like, more angry at the contenders, considering he had got, like, revenge against Daisy and Harry and didn't vote for Baden. I don't know why that would be the case, but no, I think he would vote for her at the end. We've spent a lot of time now just kind of trying to think, like, what is going on with this. I just keep picturing in my mind, I picture Adam Klein at the final four saying to David Wright, like, we are voting you out, or I'm sending myself to the jury. Like, I would rather go to the jury 1,000 times than sit next to you and get zero votes, which is what would happen. And I think that should be her mentality, exactly that, which is like, send me to the jury, because I will not go to a losing final tribal council again. You cannot pay me to go to a losing final tribal council again.
Yeah, I'm here to win. I'm here to win this. I'm not here to come second or third or you know, see how far I go. I'm actually here to try and win it this time. So it's go hard or go home. Like, that's, I just feel like this was her night to try and turn things around. She had an opportunity and she missed it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've praised Dave a lot for what he's done this week, and like, I think he deserves it. I'm just a couple of things where I'm like, could have been maybe a little bit better, and now I'm like really, like, you know, picking at it because he did great. I think that he shouldn't have told Shan and Tarzan, like, his like evil genius plan to manipulate Shan, you know, because Mo then goes to Shan and obviously tells her, and even though that doesn't even work, it could have maybe, and I think he gave them a lot of power to go to them and be like, I'm gonna show Shan, like, he's like openly discussing with them whether he's going to test Shan that night, which was interesting because, like, I think Tarzan even was like, play your idol. Like, even Tarzan is happy for Dave to get rid of the idol, but Shan wants him to keep the idol, you know? So I think that he maybe was a little bit too open with them about his plans for Shan and testing her and then manipulating her and bringing her in.
Possibly, but I think he's pretty much saying to them that once they get to Final Four, that Shan's first on the chopping block.
Hmm.
He's kind of preparing them for that, that they're the final three and Shan's on the outer. Get ready, because when we're final four, she's next.
Yeah, it could be such an evil genius plan. Like, Tarzan and Mo were sitting there being like, you should play it tonight to test Shan, which actually made some sense, which I was kind of surprised about from Tarzan. But he was like, if you don't try and strong arm Shan and you just play your idol, you don't need it again after this because we'll have a majority, which I actually truly believe is true from Tarzan and Mo's perspective. Like, they aren't coming for Dave. But I see from Dave's perspective how he wants to keep his idol because it's hard to trust that. But he's like, then you'll know where she stands. And that information would be probably maybe worth an idol, worth it for Tarzan, but because that's so telling. I thought that that made some sense, but then Dave thought, can I strong arm this to keep my idol? And to his credit, he did do that. I love the move to bring Sean in like that. I just think maybe he gave, like, keep that for the confessional about how you're manipulating Sean rather than telling that many other people in the game who can use it against you about your manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I quite liked the move. I think that, you know, he did bring Sean in and he did keep her loyal, and he got to keep it. And, yeah, he did kind of cement Mo and Tarzan as a final three, which is obviously what he wants.
Yeah, but is he misreading Mo? Because then Mo tries to break that up by going to Sean. I mean, he's definitely got the complete right read on Tarzan, and Tarzan will be loyal to Dave way beyond the game. I just wonder, I would also think that Sean's at the bottom of that alliance, but I do wonder where it comes down to for Mo.
Well, I don't know, because Mo was kind of fishing for the information. Like, you know, do you have anything else you want to talk about? Like, she was kind of questioning Sean. Like, is there anything else you want to divulge or talk about? So, and then I think she just wanted Sean to know that, yeah, like she said she wanted Sean to know that she kind of was, she knew everything and she was in the loop. I didn't really understand why that was her reasoning behind it. Like, that didn't really make any sense to me, like, what you kind of wanted to tell her that you're in charge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she just wants to be like, don't trust Dave as much, but they don't do anything with that information. So,
no,
confusing again.
No, I mean, yeah, I think it was, she said it was about keeping Sean close, but she's kind of proving to Sean that she's closer to David than Sean is. So it kind of just seemed, yeah.
More. Yeah. If anything, it should have propelled Sean to maybe want to make a move, but it didn't. But at the same time, maybe it's just enough information to say, like, still be with us. Like, it's not that much of a betrayal. Just know that, like, when push comes to shove, I'm your number one, not Dave. And, like, considering Sean didn't make that move, I don't know if maybe her final plans have been changed based on knowing about this information. Maybe that could have worked. Maybe it's just the right amount of information that she gave her. But Dave as well, another thing he did was he took Tarzan and Sean and Mo on the reward and left Vakma and Jackie back at camp. And, like, yes, he made it work. He covered for it. He won immunity. He put the numerical pressure on. But I feel like he had to do so much good work to make up for a mistake. Like, he's got the game so unlocked that it's like, it's just like minor points at this point. But, like, I don't get taking Tarzan. I don't see any reason to take Tarzan on that reward because he's like the perfect person to go babysit them. He's never going to flip. You do keep your enemies closer with Jackie. You do try to pull her in. I don't know if it would have worked, but at least the attempt is there. Whereas, like, there's no reason. Like, it should have been, like, he got to choose two people straight up, Jackie and Sean. That's so obvious. And then Mo's the third. And then that's the group and Vakma isolated and babysat by Tarzan. And that, to me, makes more sense.
I agree. I was sitting on the couch, like, thinking, why is he taking Tarzan? And Tarzan would be, like, so understanding of it as well. Like, he'd be more like, yeah, take the girls. The girls would, like, yeah, the spark. Anyway. You know, he'd be such a nice guy. He'd be like, of course you should take the girls to the spa. Why do you take a man like me to the spa? You know, like, he wouldn't even care. Like, so there'd be no hard feelings there, obviously. And he would know that Dave trusts him to, you know, to stay back with the others. He knows that Dave wouldn't think that he was going to turn and that he was the best person to stay back there. And, yeah, it makes 100% sense to just keep Tarzan back at the camp. But I don't know why he left Jackie there, but maybe he'd already decided that Jackie was disposable and didn't really even care about her.
But, like, it's fine if Jackie's disposable. I just think, like, even more so, keep her with you because then you have a better chance of blindsiding her. I mean, their plan was contingent on Jackie voting with them so they could vote her out in a 4-3-1. They, like, came back and they were like, wow, Jackie, Vakma really want to work with you. They won't give you a name. It's like, what? Did you just bring her in? Like, you didn't take her on the reward. So you're trying to act like Vakma alienating her. Like, you've alienated her. I don't think it would have worked for Jackie, but I think that there could be merit there. You could maybe be blindsiding her more. At least you've kept them apart. And it's just like when the alternative is taking Tarzan, which I see no strategic benefit to at all, like, you might as well. He was lucky to get so many picks. Like, he got half the tribe, and he really could have made it work.
I mean, I agree. I'm sitting on the couch as well thinking, what a stupid move, like, leaving Jackie at camp with them. But saying that, it's true, Dave does have the game kind of on lockdown anyway. And saying that, I mean, there is more time outside of that reward for them to chat to Jackie as well. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're going to...
overnight, though, right? So that's like a big... like, I mean, last season, that overnight reward that Pierre and Janine went on with Simon, and they left what ended up being all the flippers together, Baden, Harry, Luke, and Abby, was like the defining moment of the game. And, like, it's not random that it didn't do Dave. Like, that's to his credit. Like, he's put in enough good work that he still has enough loyalty from his people. He won immunity. Like, he played the idol. Like, he did great things to win the day. I just think he made it a little bit more difficult for himself, possibly, by making, like, an error for no reason to give him, like, a bigger task of possibly winning the vote.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually always said this about Dave, and I really love his gameplay, but sometimes I do think he just does things a little off the cuff, and sometimes they do just tend to work out for him. Like, sometimes I don't think he thinks things through enough and they just happen to work out. Like, even the whole thing with, like, early on, like, flushing Brooke's idol, you know, when she was in an alliance with him, because then it goes back out there, but it could end up in the wrong hands then. And I'm thinking, why would you flush an idol that was in your alliance when there's a chance it could end up in the hands of someone that wasn't in your alliance? Like, it just, like, things like that, I think sometimes he just does stuff because it sounds like a good idea at the time, but he doesn't really think things through enough. I don't think he's as calculating as some of his moves play out to be.
Well, he's just such a big game player that, like, everything he has, everything he does is just massive. Like even aligning with Matt Rogers, like, it could have been the reason he went home pre-swap. It might have been had they not swapped. But it also is the reason he's in that good a position now. It's the reason that saved him at the swap. That's very high variance. Even something like this, a small thing like not taking them on the reward, okay, that's a small thing, but then he covers for it by winning immunity, playing the right idol, making these amazing moves, voting for Jackie so that, like, putting on the right numerical pressure. Like, I think that's amazing. So, like, the way that he covers for it, I agree. Like, some things you think, okay, is it good? Is it bad? Is it risky? Like, even flushing Brooke's idol, I agree. Why would you put it back out there where other people could find it? But at the same time, I've heard maybe she was going to play it on Daisy, which would have ruined his plan. So it's like everything he does is so massive that there's so many parts to it where you're like, this could be very negative or very positive. But to his credit, he does end up, maybe through a little bit of luck, but also a lot to his credit, he does end up getting a lot of those positives out of it by just working that hard.
I mean, he's the golden god. Everything he touches does tend to turn to gold. I'm just not 100% sure that everything is calculated. Sometimes I think it's just some things are, and then some things is just, okay, we just got lucky there. But, you know, some in this game there is luck involved. There is. You know, you make a move and the on flow from that move and the domino effect or the sliding doors from it, you can't always tell what's going to happen from one move. And you get lucky sometimes and sometimes you don't. And I just think that things have played really well into Dave's hand. He's made the right moves at the right time. Some have been calculated, some haven't. And yeah, things have worked out for him.
Some things I think have been luck. But something like this, it's like, I think I have to credit him. Because, yeah, taking your three allies on reward could be something that, and has been something that has doomed people's games. But it's, yeah, Dave's relationships and moves and the fact that he can then win an immunity and stuff, that is to his credit that it doesn't ruin his game. Everything he's put in place and everything that he achieves after that, that's to his credit. But I just think that he gave himself, like, a lot of work to be when it maybe would have just been a little bit easier to just take Jackie and make it a little bit easier for yourself. But he wanted to hang out with Tarzan and he was like, I'll just make it work. And then he grinded and he got there and he got to hang out with Tarzan. So I hope it was worth it for him to have that bath with Tarzan.
And, you know, it just solidifies his alliance even further. But, I mean, I get that it doesn't seem like a smart move, but how loyal are his alliance? Like, especially like Tarzan to him, you know? It just, it's another thing that Tarzan goes, you know, I'd repay this guy 100-fold for everything that he does, you know, playing the idol for me, taking me on reward, you know, everything. Like, it just, it's all those little things that just add up to Tarzan as well. So, I don't know, maybe they pay off in the long run too, and, yeah, Tarzan begs the jury to give the money to Dave.
I mean, he definitely, like, he also separated Jackie from Sean and Mo, who she told about the plan. Like, there could have been more connection there. I was surprised that they dropped Jackie as quickly as they did, immediately vote for her when they were in on the Zach plan, you know? And I don't know if he would know that, and I don't know if it's intentional, but at the very least, he does separate Jackie from, you know, it would be under his watchful eye if they all went on the reward together. But, like, maybe, you know, Jackie can't pull in a Sean to vote with them. They can't kind of do something, the three of them, and try and maybe push through the middle of the game. I don't know if they would do that anyway, but he does separate that, where Jackie maybe could have worked with Sean and Mo, but probably wasn't going to anyway. Like, this is all like small margins, because Dave really does have the game on lock. So even like the little things, you're like, he's probably going to be fine anyway. But I wanted to talk about Vakma as well. Yeah. Heartbreaking week after like a big win last week. Rox was like, you know, it felt good to get them all back at camp, to get that group hug. And by the end of the week, we have lost AK and Shawnee. It's just Brooke now. And I feel like this is now the end of that tragic plight, which I've really actually enjoyed investing in through the post-merge. I think when I look back on the season, that'll be one of the things I remember, is like how much passion I subjectively as a fan have had for rooting for this minority, a minority that through circumstance and also through their connection have not at any point had to turn on each other. They've gone through fighting and fighting. They've pulled some stuff off. They did one of the only pure wins on a minority, winning on a vote split.
Yeah.
They, you know, they flipped Jackie. They all got back after Rox. Like, they've had the wins, and then they've also had the devastating losses. And like, win or lose, I've enjoyed kind of sitting on that Titanic spot with a K and kind of watching it all go down, because it gave me really something to root for and invest in.
I know. And yeah, I love all three of them, but last night was particularly hard to watch. AK going home, especially. Saying that, I hated the twist.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the twist, yes.
Even though it gave him a chance to go back to camp, I still hated it. But yeah, they've just been such a joy to root for, like, haven't they? They're just, you're behind them in all the challenges, and they're, yeah, I'm just, yeah, I think this is the end, unless Brooke can continue just to smash these challenges out. But it's been a sad week, I have to say.
If Brooke wins, I think that would be a beautiful end to the arc. She has to win a lot of challenges, and I think Vakma standing up and voting for her would be really beautiful for me to watch. But what this does end for me is that connection. And one of the reasons I've loved watching this three, especially, who've been through so much, you know, exile and this week and everything, what I've loved watching is that relationship and just like the support that they've had for each other. And that, even if Brooke goes on to win, like, she's now a lone soldier, so that is over now.
And I mean, you think if she wins the next immunity, she could split that alliance in half.
Yeah, I mean, it depends again on Mo. I think they could just like, they could just take Sean off the top and then just go to the three together. We have seen Tarzan, Mo, and Dave say, Tarzan said, we'll just work it out at the final challenge. So it depends. If Mo's with Sean, then yeah, it's a 2-2. But if Sean's on her own, I could see Sean being at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, if she wins the next one, it would be really interesting to see who they do end up turning on, and whether it does cause a 2-2 split, or whether it causes a 3-1 split. If she can create a 2-2 split between them, and she's the swing, it's obviously a much better scenario for her.
Yeah, I mean, I love Brooke. Oh, the last episode of Brooke Firstly, so many things. I loved all three of them and their brazenness in going to Rocks and the fun that they've had with it. I love the cow stuff. Who are we voting for? Mo was like a brilliant cow pun. But like Brooke, to be cheering for AK at her own spot in the challenge, where if AK wins especially, like maybe if neither of them win, she could throw him under the bus or whatever. But like if AK wins, she's done. That's it.
Yeah.
And for her to be yelling for AK while she's meant to be concentrating on her own challenge, and supporting him there, and like the relationship and how she comforted him after fire and how they acted after the challenge where like he's devastated for himself, but he's happy for her. And like, it made me cry. It made my mom cry. I just think it was like one of the most beautiful shows of humanity in the game that I've seen. And that's why I've loved those relationships. And that just like true, genuine bond for this like scrappy underdog team who scrapped for longer than they should have and who did have to contend with turning on each other before Exile came along, but who did manage to go through at the very least this whole post-merge connected to each other and fighting and sometimes winning and sometimes losing. And I'm honestly grateful as a fan for that experience because I loved watching that.
The thing is that Ball done it. You know, the thing is you've seen Shani cheering on for mm-hmm. Brooke, knowing that if Brooke won the immunity, then she's got a high, like if one of Vakumet wins immunity, then your percentages of going home increased. You know, we've seen AK celebrating Brooke winning immunities as well, like even the one when they were kind of wedged into that fence kind of panel and how he gets her down and hugs her. You know, like you've seen the camaraderie between the three of them cheering each other on in all these immunity challenges and knowing very well that if any of them win immunity, it does increase their percentages to go home, but they don't care that, you know, they're human at the end of the day and they genuinely care about each other. And I just think it just shows what kind of people they are at the end of the day. And I think that that's why, you know, they're so loved by Australia and why we're so disappointed to see some of them go this week, two of them.
Yeah, I mean, some of Australia and some people are rooting for the majority and like that's totally fine. And it's like our subjective fan experience, which is also super valid. It's just, I think, so rare that like you to not see an alliance turn on each other ever. Like it was largely circumstantial. It was largely Shan. There was an Exile twist in there. But like usually either an alliance gets down to the wire and then we'll have to turn on each other, as Makuta will soon find out. Or with these alliances that end up getting pogonged, like at a point, one of them has to stand up and be like, I'm voting for you, but I'll avenge you. You know, like it's so rare that we never see them put their name down. I'm actually struggling to think of another example. Please, guys, do tweet at me. And I very rarely ask for you guys to give me that information in tweets. But I'm interested to think, and maybe I'll think about it after the podcast, like who is the other alliance that just managed, like through just circumstances, never had to write each other's name down. And like the camaraderie that gave us, I think was a really interesting, very different structure to the post-merge. So while like I've had my issues with the season and at points haven't really enjoyed the season, I have enjoyed that. I've enjoyed rooting on that team. But let's talk about the twist, as you said, which was dumb, I think we'll say.
I mean, it just seemed so planned for that. No, I mean, like, the votes were already in there. They already, like, it's like, we know what's going on. And it kind of, like, there's been a lot of social media hate gone on with the editing and how production are trying to save certain players and so forth. And, you know, AK especially has just got so much unwarranted social media hate. And then the twist for one created so much more hate, like production trying to save him, which I just think it was unnecessary because, like, I don't understand why the twist was there. But then having the twist, I feel like possibly the twist is there, so let's just deal with it. But if they couldn't decide unanimously, do they go to Rocks? Is that what was that what was? Was going to be the case, Shan?
Yeah, so if they couldn't decide unanimously between the five of them, then they would go to Rocks. And obviously the majority is very scared of that because if Brooke picks the Rock, she'll just sit there and watch AK make fire, which actually would have been pretty funny to watch.
So I don't understand why Brooke just couldn't agree with any of them about who it was, other than just saying, no, I think it should be me. I think it should be me the whole time. Well,
they're never going to, they're never going to let Brooke make the fire, like give her 100% chance to make the fire. Like they would pick a rock before they do that.
They go to rocks and at least then she has a chance of getting the rock.
I think what we need to kind of see and what we don't see is the disparity in fire making abilities. Like I know for a fact from season 3 that Shan is a fire queen. Was her thing. Like she was amazing at fire. So you don't want Shan to pick the rock. That's like an instant loss. You don't want Dave to pick the rock because I assume Dave can do anything. Tarzan's the provider. I'm sure he could make a great fire. So I think that those three are so threatening. Mo has obviously won one fire challenge already, but she did say that was like the only time she's picked up a flint. So maybe Brooke's thinking like it gives them a better chance, maybe more of a 50-50 against someone like Mo. Whereas if they pick a rock, it's a 20% chance she gets it, 20% chance that Mo gets it. So I guess take 50% of that, so 10%. Okay, I'm doing really bad math on the fly, and I don't think this is my domain, but I feel like that's like a 30% chance, but just maybe making it against Mo in a vacuum is a 50-50.
So I'm surprised that Dave could make fire. I've never seen him kind of around the fire.
Dave, you think Dave can't do everything? Like, he's the golden god. You think he can't make a fire?
I don't know. I think he's too busy running around without his shirt on.
Yeah, he's gonna get scorch marks, but I'm sure Dave can make a fire just based on literally nothing other than, like, I'm sure that Dave can do anything.
Curious as to whether he has made fire or not, but, yeah, I mean, obviously I wouldn't want Tarzan or Shan going to fire. But they probably were, in my mind, I was thinking they were the only two that I didn't really want to go to fire. So that's why I was thinking rocks. I didn't actually put Dave into my equation, but maybe I'm wrong about this.
Well, maybe, yeah. So, okay, this is such bad math and definitely not right. But if he's definitely going to lose to Tarzan or Shan, then picking a rock's already bad because that's a 40% chance that you are out. And then maybe like 10%, like half of 50-50 against Dave, if we're being generous, 50-50 against Mo. That's still like 60% not great for him. And then he'll definitely win against Brooke. So I think like if Mo was seemed like a fair fight, and it did seem fair, like it wasn't like, wow, no pun intended, but like he did seem like he was a second behind her. So it did seem like it could have gone that way. And it was a pretty good bet, but it was just like, it was just a hard one.
Yeah, But Mo actually surprised me with the fire because, like I said, like, I never saw her do anything around camp my whole season. So.
She said she'd never picked up a flint. She's won 2 fire challenges. They might have been the only fire she's ever made.
Yeah. So I feel even worse for AK losing the fire challenge to Mo. Like, it's like even more heartbreaking.
It was the most brutal of episodes. I feel like I was not in the emotional state for it. To watch, you know, him face his fears, which I actually thought was really beautiful and inspiring, but then, like, the Brooke stuff and he's, like, the bittersweetness of it and then the well stuff and then, like, I think a few people have this question and it's another thing I don't have the answer to. I am all out of answers today. Why, maybe you'll know, why does pushing the well over break the tag? It did break the tag, but why did it break the tag?
I think just because he thought that she was just running dibba-dobber on him. I don't know.
Right.
It's just like she'd be so, you know, mortified by what he'd done that she would be off to, you know, go dob on him. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? And you need to break the tag because then you could have the illusion of an idol, which might be enough to scare him into splitting.
Yes.
So it made sense. Like, the twist, there was a lot, like, why did it have to be unanimous? Like, it gave a lot of power to the minority, clearly, in that there was, like, no reason for Brooke. Like, none of them could have been, she's obviously immune anyway, but, like, none of them could have gone home from the fire. There's no reason for Brooke to budge. I loved her ballerness in that moment. But, like, it gave a lot of power to AK and Brooke. But at the same time, I do not feel it was for the benefit of AK and Brooke. I tweeted saying, the twist was not to save AK. The twist was made to help Dave. And that might be a little simplistic because what I mean is, this twist was not to save whoever gets voted out at 6. It does help them, but that's not its purpose, because that person's probably going out in a revolving door. It's not like Harry's Advantage, which will get you to the next stage of Emerge. It's not like Exile that will expose cracks. Like, there's no reason that AK or Brooke, whoever loses immunity, won't just immediately go home next time. So it will help them, but to a point. The reason I think we got this twist is to help, maybe not Dave specifically, but the Dave character. Last season, it was Luke. It's difficult for the alpha players to get to a final two, especially in a 50-day game. That's why US Survivor made it a final three. And I truly believe that whether it was on the fly because of the advantage with Harry not being played or Lee being taken out, or whether it was always planned, this twist is here to try and engineer a final three. And I think that's what we just lost out on. And I think that it is to help a player like Dave, if not Dave himself, get to the end when it can be very tough to get to a final two if you're a more alpha player.
Yeah, I think 100% it was just a revolving door. Like, literally, AK wins that and him or Brooke are going home the very next episode anyway. So
it would have been best for Dave. Like, Dave now has to get to a final two. I still think he can do it because he's got so much loyalty. He's through to four. Like, he's great. But, like, he's going to definitely win. He'd have a way better shot at winning if it's a final three, because then he just has to win one immunity, or just have Tarzan vote with him at four and hope to win a fire challenge, maybe against a Mo, to get to three and then sit next to two people he's definitely going to beat. So, actually, I think that if anyone lost out from AK losing the fire, it was Dave more than AK, because now he has to get to a final two.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. To be honest, and I think with everything that's going on in the world, I don't know why people were, like, it's almost like they're hating on AK about the twist. You want to hate on someone, just hate on production. Like, like, why attack AK about it?
Well, that can be the question of the season. Another thing I don't have the answer to, Jackie, but I do get the show wanting to make a final three because we are getting similar types of winners. And it is that hard to get to a final two, and it does kind of bar out these more alpha players. The production probably thinks is more exciting and makes it a really tough road for them. I just think this is not the way. And unfortunately, if it's going to be a final three, we're going to need another non-elimination per season, and we haven't solved what to do with the non-eliminations yet. So, yeah, no. I think that I get wanting a final three, but we need a better solution than to non-eliminations.
Yeah, the non-eliminations this season have been pretty disappointing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've had their hands tied with Lee, and they tried the advantage with Harry. I think that was a really fun one. And yeah. They put so much, like, in the players' hands. Like, AK, someone would have to volunteer for this fire challenge, and this was obvious because AK knows he's going home, but in another world where someone's getting blindsided, no one's putting their hand up because everyone thinks they're fine. So they've given a lot of control over to the players, which is interesting.
Yeah, but the exile with, like, Johnny and Zach, and then nothing happening about it, them just kind of going for a little vacay and then coming back. Like, I was like, what do you have I missed an episode? Like, what happened? Like, and I was just like, oh, no, nothing happened. They just had a little, you know, island holiday and came back. I was just like, what? Like, I just don't think they've been brought out enough this season. But, you know, work in progress. You know, we've got some work to do on Australian Survivor, I think.
We'll get many fire challenges as well. It's like a third fire challenge. Why does Survivor love fire so much? All of the iterations, like US and Australia, is like just love just like manufacturing fire challenges. And like, this is not something I care about.
Who cooks the best beans and rice? And Jonathan could taste test it.
Yes. Yeah. I think that fire's lost its drama, especially when it's manufactured. We need to come up with a different thing. Like we need to come up with, yeah, a different, I love it. Like a MasterChef kind of Survivor thing. Is that what you're, that's what you're indicating? Yeah. We can come up with something else. We'll do that instead of fire every time.
I mean, yeah, I think I like that the fire doesn't involve physical, you know, it's not gender or, you know, physical strength related. But definitely I think we need something else.
It's just like, it's too many. Like, it can be exciting, but it is the third Fire Challenge for their life that we have watched. And now a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back. All right, Jackie, I want to get to the chizzy after we've analyzed this episode, this week of episodes. So take it away, Jacob Sager-Weinstein and MC Color.
One, two, three. It's getting
kind of chizzy. Three, two, one. All right, so the chizzy this week, I'm definitely giving 3 points to David because, as I've said, the way that he's gotten through is baffling. I have to credit him. The numerical pressure, I think he won that vote. I love the idol play for Tarzan. I do not count it as incorrect. He pulled in Shan. He showed her the idol. A couple of very minor missteps that we have spoken about, but the fact that he's through now to Final Five with his idol is crazy, is genuinely crazy. And he's never needed to play an idol himself, and he had two idols, and it's the Final Five. What? That is crazy. I'm going to give 2 points to Mo. I liked her read on Shan being loyal to them, which she has been. She was right about Jackie being disloyal to them as well. I liked her play to undercut Dave. And yeah, I think she could definitely win against a Shan or a Tarzan. Maybe not definitely against Shan, but she'd have a good fight. I just don't know when she's thinking of doing that. But I also really like that she didn't get any of the blowback for knowing about the Zach vote. Dave hasn't cottoned on to that, and she, like, acted in that way. I take some issue with her saying that the Zach vote was her doing, because I feel like maybe she's, like, fifth in line for that. I feel like you got, like, Shani, Shan, Jackie herself, maybe then Mo. Mo is maybe fourth, but maybe not taking credit for the move in confessionals. But I like a lot of the other stuff she was doing. And I'm going to give a point to Brooke, who, as I've said, I'm such a Brooke fan now. I loved her humanity, her empathy, her compassion, but that's not why I'm giving her the points. But she saved herself with immunity twice, and she just kind of represents Vakama, who I think did make the right decision with Rox and did the best they could. And unfortunately, we're dealing with some difficult stuff with the closeness of that majority and with Shan flipping on them. But I'm giving her a point. Who do you want to give your points to?
Definitely have to go with Dave for the 3 points. He does seem to have everyone in his alliance convinced that they're going to final two together. So, you know, and at this point of the game, he's literally not had to play an idol for himself. He's got the game, like, so locked down. Like, it's impressive. And even his small mistakes don't even seem to matter because he's got the game so under control. So, yeah, definitely 3 points to Dave. I'm going to give 2 points to Brookie. Just her back is up against the wall in this week, especially knowing that for every challenge that you aren't winning, you are literally going home. And to come through with two wins, I think, this week. Was it two immunity wins?
Yeah.
Like, it's so tough to win any of them. And I know that Survivor isn't the Olympics, and I'm always saying that, you know, it's not about the challenges, it's about the gameplay. But still, to come out with those wins when you really, really need them, like, got to give credit there for those challenge wins and how hard she's been fighting for them. And then last one, I'm just going to give to AK, especially in that Rock situation and understanding that, you know, Dave did change the odds for them. And, yeah, turning on Jackie White, they really needed to, and keeping them all safe and getting back to camp with those three VACMA still intact. You know, I think he does kind of at that point, you know, he is controlling those three and they are listening to him. And I think a lot of his advice is what they're paying attention to. So, yeah, I'm going to give 1 point to AK.
I love the memorial Shizzy Point, and I wish we could have seen more of AK's game. You know, we've talked about the majority counter to the minority vote split that he innovated. Like, he's just doing stuff that I think is really hard to show on primetime and is maybe not what a lot of people value in the game, maybe some of the more casual viewers, but I've enjoyed it, and I think that's pretty clear.
Not going to be the same without AK. So, yeah, I'm biased, but put it
I mean, like, objectively can analyze it like Dave's playing the best, but definitely we have favorites we can root for, and that's what makes it fun, and that's what makes us fans and not just like robots analyzing this in like zeros and ones. But Dave is definitely going to win the Chizzy at this point. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I should definitely start posting Chizzy charts, which I haven't been doing, but like, he is well ahead of everyone, and like, if he doesn't win the game itself, like, he's got the Chizzy on lock. So.
Ah, what a consolation prize.
I mean, like, losing the Chizzy, the consolation prize for that is winning the game. It's not the other way around. That's just the order of things. I have that on pretty good authority. I'm pretty sure that's... And even though I haven't mailed out last year's prizes yet, which I'm definitely going to do, it's like, it's the honor that's important. We have some JLP tweets, but before we do, I like, this is so random and I didn't know where to put it, but I just have to talk about it because it gave me joy. So, they do these videos on 10play, which is like before and after the game, like them right after they've been voted out and the day before they went into the game, and like compare questions. So they usually like the more mundane content on 10play. It's like pretty standard. But like Jackie's, I just found so funny. I don't know if anyone else finds this funny or if anyone watched it, but they were like, what are you going to miss? And people are usually like their family. She did say her family, but she was also like, my air fryer. I'm like, okay, Googled what an air fryer was, and it was like a cooking...
Jackie said this, did she?
Yeah, so she said that she was going to miss her air fryer, and then, like, they usually ask, like, what did you actually miss after the game? And usually people are like, food. And Jackie was like, yeah, my toothbrush and my air fryer. And I was like, oh my god, she's really stuck with this air fryer thing. And then in the last moment of the video, they're like... They're asked about her game, and she, like, is happy that Matt Rogers played an idol on her, and she's like, yeah, I've told him I'm going to send him an air fryer. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, is Jackie in some sort of, like, multi-level marketing scheme where she's trying to sell us air fryers? Like, how has this been such a big part of this video? I don't even know what an air fryer is, and I don't know why. This, like, gave me more joy than anything this week.
Oh, well, I might have to go get one. I mean, I can't. I'm in self-isolation. I'll buy one online and then... But then, yeah, I don't have any food to put in it anyway because, yeah, I can't get to the supermarket. But anyway, I'll have to look into it.
See, now it's already working. Like, now you want to buy it. I'm just wondering, like, is Jackie... Like, is she on some sort of air fryer marketing team? Because is that why she got so few confessionals early in the game, where all her confessionals... air fryer related? It's insane to me that in this 1 minute video about Jackie's journey, she mentioned air fryer 3 times. Like, I don't know if anyone else is going to take this very random piece of information. If anyone else watched the video, go watch Jackie's before and after, because it's largely about air fryers.
I'm taking it on board. Do you get a body like Jackie's if you use the air fryer? I want to know that.
Well, yeah, I think that she'd say that's a secret to her success. Did she invent the air fryer? Like, how is this? It's just funny because, like, she's played in the game for over 7 weeks. So that's why it's usually so different when they say, like, you know, what are you going to miss? What did you miss? People, like, give very different answers because they've just had this, like, once-in-a-lifetime experience in between those two confessionals. And Jackie was just consistent on the air fryer. I hope other people love this as much as I did, because I just could not stop. I watched it like 3 times.
I'm gonna look it up.
Please watch the video. It's essential viewing. It is essential viewing. I don't know. I wanted to bring it to people's attention. I don't know if this is so random. We'll get into the JLP tweets, but like, air fryer for life.
It's funny because Jackie didn't get much of an edit at the start, but then kind of right near the end, she kind of came across pretty sassy, and I was like, where's this? Where's his chick been the whole time? Because
she's been promoting air fryers. No, I wondered the same thing. I was like, Did she just get this attitude, or are they only now just showing this attitude? Like, how did she get all of the sass in, like, her last two episodes, like, way more than all the other episodes combined?
I know. It's impressed.
I mean, it could definitely have been the edit. Could have been both. Could, you know, she definitely probably got a bit of, like, a pep in her step from taking out Zach. So, like, probably a bit of both. But, yeah, you should watch Ajuri Villa, too, if anyone hasn't done that, because she, like, fights with Zach, and it's, like, very...
Oh, really?
...and interesting, yeah. They're, like, he's, like, not letting up. On, no, they do make up.
He messaged me about that. I don't think there's still any love lost.
Really?
I probably shouldn't say that, should I?
No, we love the tea. We absolutely love the tea.
I always spill the tea. I'm the worst person.
Well, this is why you'll keep getting invited back, Jackie. We love that. But everyone gets like a segment on their jury villa. You know, like Shawnee washes her hair and like people do some stuff. But Jackie's segment was like making up with Zach. So like if that was a lie and they're not actually made up, then what are we even doing?
Wow. According to Zach, they're not made up.
I love the tea. This has been a very, very productive segment of this podcast. All right, so some JLP tweet. He tweeted, just, Sean is so sketchy. Just that. I'm going to count all those while we're here. 9 O's. Just letting you guys know. Like, just put it out there by itself.
Wow. To be honest, Sean's not a sketchy person at all. That's she's actually she gets pretty you. Genuine. Like,
yeah, that's how she gets you, though.
I just think she's... Yeah. I don't know. She's not a villain at all.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. It's like you can't nail Sean down. Like, is she, like, she's not a villain. She's not a hero. Like, her character is almost the most difficult character to define of any Survivor character to me. Like, you cannot wrap her up in a neat little box.
No. And the thing is, too, that I think that she's the one kind of flip-flopping on herself rather than on other people, possibly.
Hmm. Well, JLP wasn't having none of it. He also had a lot of tweets of, like, drink every time Dave says All Stars, and then he was, like, complaining that, like, the bars are closed. Now we kind of need a drink every time JLP tweets about Dave talking about how it's All Stars, because that's how much he's tweeting about it. Speaking of JLP, by the way, you know, I don't know if everyone has heard this, but he will not be able to attend the reunion. This has been pretty big news this week, that he couldn't get in from America before the isolation soon enough.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Osha. If anyone watched Talking Tribal / has heard about Osha, because we explained him earlier on the podcast a few weeks ago with the Bachelor stuff. He's the Bachelor host, so there's that Lockie connection. Osha is going to, like, compare the stuff from the reunion, and JLP will be there via satellite. So that is where we're at in March of 2020.
That's, like, sad that JLP is not going to be there, because obviously we all love JLP, but Osha's a great second pick.
I feel like, what happened to James Matheson from Talking Tribal? Like, he could have had a run at it. But the Bachelor Survivor stuff is now, like, fused together so much at this point that they were going to definitely go to Osha next. But, yeah, no JLP. Like, this is just what we're contending with.
Osha's been a fan forever. Like, he was even at our reunion, season 3. So, like, he's kind of been hanging around for ages. Like, he loves it.
But who will read the votes? Like, is Osha gonna read it? Is JLP gonna read it via satellite? Like, I'm so confused about how this is gonna work, but we're all just gonna have to roll with it because these are crazy times.
Are you going?
No, because there's no audience.
Who could read the votes? Imagine that.
Me reading it.
Yes. Like, you know, like Delvine Delaney, is that her name? From Sale of the Century, you know, like the girl on the side. You could do that.
I was saying to James and Osha that we were like, it feels like if Osha couldn't have got in, like, at what point, like, James might have got the call up, and if James couldn't get the call up, like, maybe Luke would have got the call up. And I was like, how many people would have had to pull out for me to get this gig? Would 80? Like, is it, like, every person who's ever played the game? Like, could we have made this work with the travel restrictions? are true for anyone outside of my own home. That would have been good. But yeah, if only we could have just like gone down the line to like being like 100th in line, then I could have come out and hosted the reunion.
No, I disagree. Like, I think Osher's great because obviously, you know, he's used to hosting things, but it would have been good to have like a more Survivor expert kind of person out there.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, the world is so crazy right now. We are contending with things we never could have predicted a week ago. But the last thing that I could have predicted would be me hosting the Survivor reunion, because enough people have been logged out. I would have been like, what am I doing here? What is happening? But no, the reunion actually is going to look very different to what we would have expected, which is really sad because it was going to have an audience, obviously. JLP was going to be there. I'm not sure if all the contestants are even going to be able to get there. So whatever happens, it's probably better for spoilers that it's, you know, because it's not live. So it's probably better that there's going to be no one there but the cast. But yeah, just be prepared, guys, for when it happens. It's not going to be how we thought it was going to look.
I definitely think we should be like, signing some petition to get you on the stage on in some capacity.
I can't even get in the room anymore. Also, it's going down like very soon, so we do not have time for the petition. But
yeah, we have a few cast members not attending as well, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly who, but I have heard it's not going to be a full house. So, yeah. And are they allowed to, like, hug when the winner wins? Like, you probably shouldn't. It's just a lot. It's just, I don't think there's any family there as well. So I don't know if that's true for maybe the finalists. But, yeah, everyone's been getting kicked out, which is totally understandable. It's going to be very weird.
It is going to be weird, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
It is.
People write in with how many people you think I would have needed to get locked out of the finale to get in line. There's a TV show, right, about, like, someone who becomes president because he's, like, 80th in line and he's, like, the home affairs officer or something like that. Can't remember what it's called, but that would have been, like, me getting the call up to host the reunion. Okay.
I think that you could have been there in some capacity. They should have just put you there. So because everyone knows who you are, and then we just would have been like, ah, oh, that's okay, Shannon's there.
I actually don't think everyone knows who I am based on a lot of the comments of, like, who the F is this person that I get in terms of social media. But thank you for generously saying that. And thank you to the people who don't comment that. If you're 2 hours into this podcast, you probably do know who I am. And if you're not, you're probably commenting, who the F is this chick? I don't care about her stupid opinions.
Well, the people that should know who you are do know who you are.
Yes, the people who are this far into the podcast, they're the people that matter. Only those people.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if I have any more. Some inappropriate JLP tweets. Once that bar goes down, it's hard to get it up again, just saying. Have to throw that in there because it wouldn't be a podcast without doing JLP's inappropriate tweet of the week. But we have many questions, Jackie. We've had many questions over the podcast. We also did questions, hopefully, that we can answer from the listeners. Rich Batch asked, when was the last merge with no idols or advantages found?
Oh.
So this is something that is very indicative of Australian Survivor, I think. Like, season 3 had a lot played and then a few found. Season 4, a few were played very early merge and then found with the idol, and then Luke found the advantage. But, like, season 2 as well, I'm trying to think about season 1, but, like, they don't tend to hyper-rehide idols very late in the game.
No.
Like, Dave playing his at Final 7 would not, I don't think, trigger another idol being hidden. Whereas in US Survivor, I think it would. I think that they, especially if he has another idol in the game, I don't think they tend to really rehide things. So I'm not so surprised that with Dave holding on to the idols and with the way Australian Survivor goes, I'm not so surprised that there haven't been any found for a while.
No, and even when he played it for Tarzan the other night and then Brooke and AK were looking, I was thinking, do you really think there's going to be another one placed this late in the game? Was what I was thinking. I mean, I would love AK and Brooke to have found it, but, like, I was, like, thinking, I wonder whether they're really going to put one out this late in the game.
In US Survivor, there'd be one there and it would be found. But in Australian Survivor, I would never think that they're hiding it that late. And I just think, like, as much as the Doom people I was rooting for, like, I don't think that they should be rehiding an idol when one has played at seven when there's still one in the game. There's no need for that. And I think US Survivor should take more from that and make them more sparse through the post-merge and kind of have a limit to rehiding them if they're played at a six and a seven, possibly even an eight. At that point, kind of let the game play out.
Yeah.
Barbecue Ice asks, why do some playing the middle games work really well for people like Sarah Talik and Sarah Lucina, while not so well for people like Sean or Will Morris?
Look, I think that playing the middle actually does work for people like Sean if you're not going to alienate people while you're doing it. And I think that she played the middle pretty well in season three until she kind of Matt Rogers kind of turned bitter about the whole loyalty thing, but that was that one vote, and pretty much Brian just didn't like her not taking it to the final two. It's just how many people you directly burn from the middle. You know, like if you can play the middle, but you can't be super close to the people that from the middle. Do you get what I'm saying? Like once you make a close connection or close promises, then when you burn them, that's when it kind of comes back to bite you.
Yeah, and it really is on approach as well.
You can be a swing vote and kind of not make promises. You're just saying, well, here I am, I'm a swing vote. You can be a middle person like that, and then people aren't resenting you when you don't vote with them the next time, because you've just pretty much put it out there that you were a swing vote. But I think that when you're kind of looking people in the face and going, I promise you 100% I'm voting with you and I will be with you, I promise you, like, and you're looking them in their face and doing that, like, then that's when it causes issues.
Yeah, and, like, there's stuff around this in terms of, like, demographic that really does matter. You know, like, if, like, a very strategic guy does it, you probably think, like, it's just the game. That's just, like, his archetype. You know, like if Dave does it, they probably just think like, oh, Dave, classic big player Dave. And there has been in the past, you know, some stuff with like older women or like the mom type figure that people don't like when they betray them, because you're meant to be the mom. You're meant to be more nurturing. Maybe it's definitely gone against someone like a Dawn in the past. And there might be some of that here in terms of like Sean does come across as that genuine and that real and not so much like strategic game bot player, that you take it personally, and that might come down to like just her personality type and her demographic. So I think that that's not divorced from this, but I also think some of it is her fault, because if you're going to say I will vote for you, otherwise don't vote for me in the end, and then you don't vote with them, like, well then you've laid it out there, and she's sitting there at the final seven. Vakuma say to her at tribal council, are we still good? And she's like, yeah, you know, like She looks people in the face. She's like, has her classic line of like, oh God, yeah, like I'm good with you. And that's on her as well. But it also is probably a trickier battle when you do have an archetype that people expect to be more maternal and more nurturing and like as if you're the one who got me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think the demographics do come into place in that as well. But It does depend on the closeness to that you are forming these bonds from the middle as well.
Thomas Lenka asks, should Jackie have used the information that she told Mo and Sean beforehand that she was going to flip to fracture the alliance more? She was clearly out, so why not sow mistrust, tell Dave and Tarzan and try to take a target off of her, maybe even make herself look better?
They're asking whether she should have divulged that she was voting for Zach. Is that what the actual question was?
I hadn't thought about this, and I think it's actually a really good question that I wish I would have asked Jackie about in the exit, because what they're asking is, like, so that storyline went nowhere. Like, besides the fact that, like, Dave never found out that Mo was in on it, like, Jackie did tell Mo and Sean, and they do have blood on their hands, just they didn't vote for him. So when Jackie's in trouble and her name is out there and she's clearly with Vakuma, can you go to a Dave at that point and say, just so you know, like, I told Mo and Sean that I was voting for Zach and they wanted to weaken you, but they didn't want that blood on their hands. Like, whether he believes her is another story, whether she thinks the situation is dire enough that it warrants that. I mean, she does think best case scenario is a tie. So, like, I don't know where she, like, she's either getting voted out or she's picking a rock. Like, it's not that great. Maybe she should have thrown Mo and Sean under the bus, and maybe she did try to when we didn't see it. And just been like, you guys aren't as tired as you think, but maybe come with us and we'll take our chance.
Yeah, I mean, she could have. Yeah, I think she definitely could have thrown them under the bus at that point, even if she threw them under the bus when she thought she was going down at Tribal as well, when Shan's trying to convince Vakama to turn on her as well. If I'm going down, I'm probably going to throw a few people down with me anyway. Yeah, so,
because the whole point was that, like, Shan couldn't flip on Mo at the unanimous vote because Tarzan's immune and he's not picking a rock. Dave's immune, he's not picking a rock. There's no reason for them to ever flip on Mo. Dave and Tarzan being, like, immovable is what makes that really tricky. So it probably wouldn't have worked, but maybe Jackie could have been like, if we all vote out Mo, we can, like, kind of restart. There's no way that's going to work, but you would think that there would be more desperation. I did ask Jackie, like, were you campaigning more than we saw at the Tribal Council? And she kind of indicated that she wasn't aware how much she was going to be allowed to talk. She wasn't aware that they were just going to go and vote before she had a chance to make her pitch. So it just seemed like she was kind of confused by the structure of it. But yeah, you would think that at that point, when she's on the chopping block, maybe throw out everything, including the fact that, like, you have this dirt on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially when things happen at Tribal Council that they're not showing, like pivotal things, like I find that when the edit is so disappointing, there's things that happen that the viewers just really do need to see. But it did seem like Jackie just sat there and just kind of accepted her fate, which surprised me. But yeah, I think that she didn't go to Dave and say anything to him because I don't think she really thought that she was in trouble with Mo and Shan at any point before that trouble as well.
Yeah. I mean, she probably didn't think she was getting votes, but she knew it was a best-case scenario of a tie. Like, you'd think it would be more of a desperate situation. I don't know if that would have fractured them, but Dave has been so vengeful that if he believes her, it could cause a big split.
And especially because, you know, he's always been a little bit distrustful of Shan as well. Like, yeah. I mean, I think he would believe her if she said that she hadn't told him them.
This is the numbers are so tight then that, like, they're probably going to have to stick together or just, like, risk being a minority to this new form of Vakama and Jackie. But I feel like more could have been done. And maybe it was. And we didn't see it. Benny Rod asks, what would you prefer, these non-elimination twists or Edge of Extinction? At least Edge of Extinction is objectively fair in giving all eliminated players up to the final six a chance to re-enter rather than popping up at random times to save certain people and ruining a tribal council.
Oh, I hate Edge of Extinction as well.
Yes, never edges.
Yeah, so I still think the non-elimination, but I just think they need to be handled a little bit better. They need to be more thought out. Not just sending someone to, Exile Island and then just having them both come back and then telling them which tribe they're going to. It just looks too scripted to me and it causes distrust with the viewers as well. And I think it puts shade on the entire integrity of the show, which is something that we don't want for Survivor. So I think that if there is going to be a non-elimination episode, then it just needs to be more thought out.
I agree. No Edge of Extinction because that changes the fabric of the entire game where, like, every vote out lacks meaning. I mean, you could, like, it definitely not post-merge. Pre-merge, I still would say no because it, again, changes the fabric of what we're watching. But, yeah, just better non-eliminations would be my... I think we've kind of come down on, like, maybe they should be doing juror removal. I didn't hate Harry's advantage. There are things to be done. It's hard, but it can be a little better, and it doesn't need to be Edge of Extinction, which I truly think is, like, the worst of the worst. It can't be worse than that. Like, cannot be.
And just less controlled by production. Like, I think, yeah, it needs to be more in the players' hands, like the Harry thing. I think it makes the show more organic and just keeps the integrity of the show intact.
Yeah, I mean, you don't love seeing what the producers are thinking when they do twists. Like, the fact that when they did the fire, I was like, oh, they want it to be a final three? Okay. Like, I shouldn't know what you're thinking, production. It should be a more seamless process.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Well, that's actually all the questions that I have. What is the hashtag? I have hashtag air fryer confessionals because I'm obsessed with this. I might be the only one in the world who is talking about this, but it made me laugh. So we need to laugh in these times.
I'll sing it out as soon as we hang up.
Oh, yeah. You got to go buy one. You know, don't self-isolate without an air fryer.
I'm looking at the confessional first.
Oh, yeah. No, the video is perfect. Like, it's just like, how does Rita Green?
I'm going to have to message her after I watch it.
Well, and just ask her why she loves air fryers so much.
Yeah. And did she know that Zach still hates her? I'm joking.
Ooh, this is interesting. This is like, we're not just getting the tea, we're stoking the flames of the air fryer. I love it. Jackie, where can people find you for all of this online tea and your possible air fryer reviews coming soon?
I'm just on Twitter on Jackie Glazier and on Instagram under Jackstar Glazier.
I'm excited for the reviews. We better get some. I will not be buying an air fryer because I don't really cook. And
if I end up getting a body like Jackie's, I'm like going for it.
That's what they promise you. I feel like this is like gonna, like, this is a bit that no one else is gonna. I loved it. Maybe I'm a little bit delirious based on or everything that's going on in the world, but I was like, this is joyful. Follow me for all of these takes and more at Shannon Gates, Instagram, and on Twitter. Subscribe to the International Survivor at Hapups feed where you get all of my content. Hope that you guys have been enjoying it. I hope that it's helping the social distancing to a degree. So much content will be on that feed if you subscribe. Survivor Global this week with Jacques Berger from Survivor South Africa is going to happen. We just missed that episode as we were recording of Survivor Winners at War, so hopefully all my favorites are okay. Otherwise, it'll be a sad podcast. Exit interviews are going to be out soon. We're not getting one with AK because I don't think he's doing official exit press, but we will talk to him more at length after the season, so it's okay. So Shawnee and Jackie, I will put that together, and that will be out, I guess, around the same time as this podcast in the end. Next week, the great Leona Boris will join me for two episodes. I think it's just a two-episode week and then the finale the week after. So that'll be great. Love chatting to Leona. And Talking Tribal, I hope that everyone's checking that out. We had Sean Hampson on again this week. We had a very heated debate about it. I hope everyone is watching that and subscribing to that podcast feed as well. And yeah, thank you to everyone who is supporting that content. Jackie, it was so great to get you on the podcast again, to get your takes on these players that you've played with, that you've watched, that you have connections to, and get all of your strategic insights as well.
Thanks so much for having me. And as usual, I just want to give a shout out, especially when the world is going crazy. Now is the time to be kind, not nasty. Keep your tweets kind about these players. Just remember they're on our screens for our entertainment, not for you guys to attack them on social media. So keep it nice, guys.
Yeah, such a brilliant PSA. It takes a lot out of me not to respond to some of the vitriol I see. And like, can I say, like, also, like, don't at them, especially. Just really don't at them. Don't at me about how much you hate them, because I don't care and I don't want to see it. So be kind, and if you can't be kind, leave me out of it would be my suggestion and my ask. I don't know if this is for our listeners. It's probably more for like for the rest of Twitter, but it's always a good message, especially in these times. But Jackie, thank you so much again. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks to all you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Shannon.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.